When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies Baby. Every week on Movies Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies Baby with 5 Y's. Movies Baby!
Hello, producer Matt.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. You were telling me something pretty exciting, and I thought it would be an interesting thing to tell the listeners who are listening right now.
Yes. Well, the news is, if you actually don't want to hear from me again in this context with ads, all you have to do is join the Patreon. And you can get an ad-free office hours experience.
So right now, there's rubes listening who are not paying, but they're listening to ads after ads.
Yeah, such as this.
I don't listen to the ads. Time. I don't pay attention to that aspect of the show. But yeah, you're telling me there are ads in this podcast.
Oh, whoever's hearing this right now, their experience of office hours is littered with ads.
Yuck. You want to listen to it ad-free? What do you do?
You just go to patreon.com/officehourslive.
What's that going to cost me? Hundreds of dollars?
Oh, not even close. Not even. For $55, you can get a whole year of Office Hours entertainment.
$55? How much? You can do it for $5 a month, correct?
If you're a fool,
right?
You would pay. You'd pay $60 for a year at right. $5 a month.
But dripping the money in every week.
Yeah, like a fool. Or you can just cut your check.
Sign up for the year, because we're not going anywhere.
No, we'll be right here. And if you pay, then you don't have to hear this kind of junk anymore.
Ad-free for patron subscribers. That's big.
No.
Let's lock the gates and start the show.
I like having fun. I like to laugh. I like to meet people who can make me laugh. I like having fun. Yes, I like it to laugh. I like having fun to meet people who laugh.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Thursday, February 18th, 2021. 10 a.m. here on the Pacific Coast in Glendale, California. A beautiful day out. Skies, high mid-50s, we're thinking. Haven't done a full temperature check. I want to get right to the show today, folks. We have so much to get to. So much is going on. Tremendous guests. I'm not going to waste your time with a bunch of bullshit. I'm not going to do it again. I've been doing it every week. I get on and I ramble and rant and I talk about all kinds of screenings, all kinds of merch opportunities, but today's all about content creation, as Martin Scorsese has instructed us so wisely to focus on. Content creation. Constantly create content. That's the three C's. The three C's of being an artist. Constantly create content. I'm joined in this pursuit as I search and fight, claw my way through life. I claw my way through life in pursuit of content, creating it and living it.
Oh, yeah.
And sharing it and monetizing it. In this pursuit, in this quest, I am joined by one of the great artists, one of the great men.
Yeah,
DJ the Pound to my right.
Yeah, baby.
Hell yeah. And as always, sitting straight across from DJ Doug Pound, another knight in my army as I travel and traipse through the land, across oceans, over mountains, searching for the great content to deliver to you, oftentimes ad-free if you're a member of the Patreon community, is the victor, the burger, a big cheeseburger, Vic Burger. Get this man a double cheeseburger. Vic Burger is here.
I'm very hungry today.
Producer Matt Wes is here. We have a gentleman also monitoring the audio. Lots of things going on here today. We couldn't be happier to share the day with you. all right. Lisa Belladonna coming up. One of the great, if you're not following Lisa Belladonna on Instagram, you're missing out.
Hello, it's Mr. Nasty.
She's a tremendous synthesizer performer, amazing sound craftswoman. And I can't wait to talk to her. I've never met her. I've never talked to her. I'm just a fan. Then somebody that I am a friend of and know very well, Robert Popper. We've had Robin Cooper call in, but now we're going to have Robert Popper, the creator of Robin Cooper, call in and talk about his new audiobook, The Time Waster Compendium, now available on audio, on Audible. I was doing so good. City. We're going to get right to this, folks, because there's so much to get to. The City of the Day! The show's humming. Vic, you haven't even gotten a word in edgewise.
No.
And you have coming nothing to say, do you?
I got nothing to say today,
so just work on your drops.
Nothing much there, more to say.
Vic and Doug, you also are quiet as a mouse.
Bye. I'm in drop heaven here, and it's like, I gotta pick and choose.
We speak through our fingers.
Mm-hmm.
The City of the Day is brought to you by Billy Corgan's Coroner. So I'm gonna try that again. Take two. Can I get a take two on that? City of the Day, we can edit this later. City of the Day is brought... let me try again. The City of the Day is brought to you by Billy Corgan's Coroner. Don't you hate dealing with those big city coroners and their ho-hum bureaucratic runaround whenever you have a dead body on your hands?
Yeah.
Well, now you can cut the red tape with your friendly coroner, owner owned and operated by a name you can trust, a Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins. If you're anything like me, you're sick of big government telling you whether or not you... If you're anything like me, you're sick of big government telling you whether or not your cousin is dead. That's why I've made the switch for my stiffs. Just call Billy and tell him you heard about his store on office hours, and he'll take care of your cadavers with a smile. This is not your typical big box coroner. This is Billy Corgan's Coroner. The body might be cold, but our service is warm. That's from Billy Corgan, famous bald-headed lead singer, wrestling advocate of the Smashing Pumpkins, frequent guest on the Joe Rogan podcast. City of the Day is... Philadelphia! Spent a lot of time in Philadelphia. I wasn't going to say I grew up there, but I went to college there and lived there. Philadelphia, high weather right now, high of 30 degrees. Yee, brisk. What's the low, Doug? Any idea?
12.
25. All right. Let's take a quick zoomer before we get into the meat of the show today. Say hello.
Amanda Maduri.
Amanda Huggenkiss.
First in line today.
I need Amanda. How many times have you gotten that, Amanda?
You have to unmute on your side, Amanda. There you go.
Many times. Thank you.
How are you today, Amanda? How can I help you today?
Hello, baby.
I'm doing very well. I just had to show my Dickies overall support for my boy Doug.
Let's hear it for Doug and his overall.
There he goes too.
Wow.
Dick.
These were tie-dyed by my friends in Chicago. Forever friends.
There you go.
So
paid promotion.
You know how bad I would look in that outfit? I'd look so fat.
I'm going to get you some.
I'd try
them. Slimming.
Well, my friend Fred Armisen during the quarantine decided he was going to simply wear coveralls, the zip-up kind, not the over. I guess, is that what you call coveralls?
Like painter coveralls?
Yeah, like this, like the one-piece. And just wear that every day, just
that's
to cut a couple
easy
different
to,
copies.
Easy but choice.
Okay. Amanda, where are you calling from? Chicago, too?
No, Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, yeah. That's the best. The pizza.
Hello.
The five families.
Yeah.
Right? What side? What family are you aligned with when it comes to the mob? Are you a Genovese? Are you a Costello?
The salami.
Salami. The salami brothers. One of the minor families of the five families. I was thinking about that, Doug, in The Sopranos. Not to make every show about The Sopranos, but in the Sopranos, they talk about there's the Jersey crew. There's Jersey family, the Soprano family.
That's not
what
me.
Is that? Is there an alarm going off in your
Oh, that's
building?
Me.
Oh, that was.
Okay. Of course it is. I don't know why that kept going.
How do you know when things are not working or that's the plan on this show? I mean, that... Anyways, so they have the five, they always talk about the five families, right?
Okay.
And then the Soprano family in Jersey.
Yeah, she's on board with this.
But they don't, you only see the one of the five the whole show. You see that, the what's it called? Carmine's family. So where are the other families? Step up!
Step up!
All right, Amanda, listen, obviously it's a big day. We want to pay tribute. We are broadcasters, okay? First and foremost, what we do is broadcast. It's a long, beautiful tradition started by Marconi, the great inventor of radio, the Italian Marconi. And we lost one of our brothers. We lost one of our is everything all right?
Yeah. Okay. Just doing the usual. Sorry, we had to mute you, Amanda. You had a lot of background noise.
Brothers are brothers, and we might not always agree. You know, sometimes you fight with your family, but you're not going to be lockstep. But he was a brother. So today we're going to pay tribute to Rush. I think we have somebody sitting by that's going to speak about it very briefly. Hopefully, he was banned from the show. I'm letting him back in because he really felt close and personal to this situation. Let's bring Phil Braun on real quick to talk about Rush and what he meant to him and everybody else.
Hey guys, are you there?
Hey,
excuse me,
Phil. Yes.
Hey,
you got a short leash today, so share with us your thoughts on Rush and what
Phil,
this means.
You.
What happened yesterday and what that means.
Sure. Well, yeah, I'm happy to talk about Rush. Wrote a little something prepared that I could read in honor of Rush today.
I'm warning you.
So, you know, born in 1981 at Le Studio in Morin Heights, Quebec, Rush Limelight became the number four charted hit in the U.S. Billboard top ranks.
You're talking about...
And is still being played in radio stations all across the country.
You're talking about Rush the band. I'm talking about Rush Limbaugh, Phil. I'm talking about Rush Limbaugh, who passed away from lung cancer yesterday at 70 years old, Phil. Not Rush the band, the band I don't like.
Rush Limelight, I thought, was that what we were talking about today?
No, we're not talking about Rush Limelight. We're talking about Rush Limbaugh. Limbaugh, okay? Have some respect.
Limelight was...
I asked you to come on here and pay tribute to a great broadcaster, and you come on here and you make a mockery of it after I banned you, Phil? I'm going to come down to Atlanta and smack you.
Well,
this stupid Crocodile Dundee hat.
Listen, I'm wearing this hat all the time now. People like it.
People like it? Who? Who
everybody,
fucking likes that hat? No one. Now,
I'm
listen.
Not even in Atlanta, so good luck coming down here. I'm up in New York City right now because coincidentally, getting ready for Gettython that's coming up.
All right, kill his mic. Thank you, Phil.
And
you are once again
when's
banned.
When is
you're back to being banned. When is
Gettython?
Can you talk to him privately about that?
All right.
That's not something, that's not information we want to dispel.
Okay.
No. Let me get back to, let me get back on track here, because Rush Limbaugh was, you know, whether you liked him or not liked him, he was an important voice, and he was a great broadcaster. And I got a chance to get to know him a little bit about before he passed. And
oh, you did?
I did.
Where'd you
go? I went to balmy Palm Beach.
Is that where he broadcasted out of?
Yes. And I spoke with him. We became very close, I think, since Christmas. And we knew that he was not well. And I said, Rush, what do you want your legacy to be? And he said, I want the EIB network to continue on. When I go, you must carry the torch. You must continue the EIB network for many years. I am merely the beginning of a long history. It is up to you. He said, I've listened to your office hours broadcast, and I disagree with a lot of your political positions, but you are the broadcaster of the finest order. You take it seriously. You handle segments wonderfully. Your interviews are top-notch. And now, when I go, should it be today?
Phil smoking.
6 months from now, it will be you who carries on the EIB tradition. And so, folks, with great respect and great honor, I am here to make a huge announcement that now that Rush Limbaugh has passed, it is my honor to now share with you the new home of the EIB network. We are live broadcasting from Glendale, California. The EIB network is back. And we had a moment. We shall pay tribute to Rush Limbaugh, who began the EIB network in 1981. Or whenever. My name is Tim Heidecker. I am the new host of the EIB Network Office Hours Live. What an honor it is to be with you folks. Now listen, friends, I'm joined by Doug Lusenhop and Victor Berger IV. Now, Vic, I've seen some of your satirical videos mocking the president, and I must say, while they made me laugh, they were very disrespectful to the office of the presidency. So I'm going to ask you to leave right now. And this show will just be me and Doug. You will take the phone calls and do whatever needs to be done as far as janitorial services. Now, I just want to speak briefly about the current state of the so-called coronavirus, or the COVID-19, or as I call it, the Biden virus, which has been ravaging the country since he's taken office. Now, a lot of people want to look at the role that Congress is playing and put blame on certain individuals, be they men or women, who have made legislative decisions as it relates to the virus and the relief package. But friends, we cannot ignore the fact that Joe Biden, one of the most unpatriotic, one of the most lecherous, subhuman presidents to have ever occupied the office,
prescription Johnson,
bears 100% responsibility for the Biden virus, which is now ravaging our country.
Look, come on, man.
And we have to acknowledge that we are forced to do something about it, and you have to make your voices heard. Let's take a few calls on the EIB network.
When in doubt, I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
What do we have? Matt, the producer. Let's take
a
call.
Dealing with a little chat flame up.
Oh, what happened?
Oh, we got someone being a wiseacre.
Well, listen.
That's okay.
And we also want to thank our sponsor, Gold. Gold property. Gold.
Gold
is sponsoring our show. Gold itself.
The element.
The element of gold is now sponsoring our show. Gold, one of the rarest elements in the universe, makes for great coins, and now becomes a terrific investment opportunity. And Tommy G's Cigars. Tommy G's a friend of the show, and these are some of the finest 349 cigars out there. These are made by indentured servants in the Dominican Republic, I believe. Fine brand. They light beautifully, and they smoke like a champ. Tommy G's Cigars. Let's take a call on the EIB network. This is Tim Heidecker, and we're speaking about all things relating to the disaster that is the Biden administration. Let's take a call.
Dirty DDDD with a snow report.
Wow.
Whoa, how's it going, guys?
Look at this.
What? It is snowing where you are, which makes me wonder what the Democrats are going to say about global warming. Where is the evidence when you look out the window and see 10 feet of snow? You have Texas under a winter warning, and you have this gentleman. Where are you calling from, sir?
Oxford, Mississippi.
Mississippi should never have snow, but it does now. Yeah. And you could talk about global warming until your face turns blue. But
it's all because of the Green New Deal.
The Green New Deal. With Bernie Sanders and AOC and Rashid Tlaib and the squad who have become traitors to this nation and must be dealt with swiftly. Now, in the 19th century, you would have a squadron of individuals take care of that situation and there would be no discussion about it.
Dang, dong.
Hey, I think Rush was just trying to get away from the cold, you know, like Ted Cruz.
I can't. What's that? Oh, I can't hear you.
Hello, can you hear me?
I've had sudden loss in. I don't know if this is something to do with the EIB network transfer, but I've had sudden loss of hearing. I've had sudden loss. I can't hear my own voice.
I can't.
Test
hear
one
you.
Two. Test oh, one yeah, two. I've gone completely deaf.
Oh, yeah.
Is there something about this tone of voice that could be damaging to one's ears?
I can't hear.
My ears have stopped working. I cannot hear a word.
Is it the pills you've been taking?
I can't hear you.
Oh, what?
Pills?
Yes, I'm on painkillers, which I've become addicted to. These are OxyContin pills for my severe obesity.
They're for obesity?
Well, no.
You can hear me now.
I had. Let me look at you.
What?
Yes. Yes. Says I had put on a tremendous amount. I weighed 400 pounds, which was terrible for my bones and my muscles. My back had seized up and had terrible back problems, and so my doctor prescribed painkillers, OxyContin. And I had become hopelessly addicted to the pills, and that's that. And so apparently, what happens is your hearing becomes affected after a period of time. And somehow, through magic or through some kind of curse, the addiction to OxyContin and the hearing loss has been passed along by the corpse, Limbaugh.
And
his spirit, his haunted spirit, is with us today, taking my hearing and crippling it. And so I will not be able to hear, but I will take a guess at what you're talking about throughout the show. Okay, another call here on the EIB network.
Amo has a question for Rush.
So yes.
Megadiddos, Rush.
Megadiddos, I assume, you said.
Yes, megadiddos.
How's that? You must scream. You see, I'm deaf. No possible way to hear what you're saying. I'll attempt to read your lips.
I have a question for you.
Excuse me. I have terrible cough. I don't know what it is. There's blood coming out of my mouth. I hope I also don't have lung cancer. Go ahead.
Oh, God, that would be awful.
I'll try to read your lips.
Okay, well, I just wanted to know your reasoning. You said that women shouldn't be allowed on juries when
yes.
the defendant is a stud. And I just was wondering what the reasoning for that was.
Well, you're asking a question for Rush Limbaugh. I'm Tim Heidecker, who has unfortunately received some of the negative aspects of Rush Limbaugh, one being the loss of my hearing and what appears to be sudden onset of stage 4 lung cancer. I can feel it in my bones.
Slay queen.
And unfortunately, it doesn't look like I'm going to last much longer. Therefore, I must pass the torch on to you, No, because the cancer, the Limbaugh cancer is just ravaging me at a rapid pace. I can't. Would you take the EIB network? Take it. Good luck. I hope the same curse does not affect.
Well, I don't know if I want this curse.
Do we need to
carry? Maybe
you
can put it up on top of your logo.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to take part in
this. That looks good there.
That's not. It's not bad.
All right.
All right.
I couldn't. I was
end
right.
Scene or
end scene. I didn't expect
God.
That to go that
yeah,
far.
That was
but once you start talking, I can understand the appeal.
Yeah.
Rush Limbaugh decided that I could speak like this. And my elocution has never been stronger. As long as I speak with this inflection, anything I say will be believed by idiots.
I own slaves.
The Democratic Party is a party of slavery. They created slavery and continue to use slavery tactics to this day. I'm not speaking metaphorically. I believe that many top Democrats now do possess slaves and have them picking cotton outside of their Washington, D.C. Brie and Chardonnay festivals. All right, for Christ's sake. I've shredded my voice.
Come on, man. Dead.
That's
dead,
how it's going to be, I see.
Dead.
I mean,
dead.
You know how no, to no disrespect to cigar smokers, but you all look so stupid when you smoke cigars.
Yeah, she could. You getting yours out, though?
I got it. I got a nice quote from Limbaugh here.
Okay. Play your greatest hits from Limbaugh.
Huh?
Play your greatest hits from Limbaugh.
And how many people have died since the white man arrived here due to lung cancer, thanks to the Indian invented custom of smoking tobacco? Who are the real killers here?
I got one.
It's not racist. Excuse me. I may have sampled some beans earlier. Well, let's just say I'll have plenty of gas.
Where? I like that.
That's a nice one.
That's
huh?
a fine one.
Mm-hmm.
Where are our reparations?
Maybe he wasn't that bad after all.
Where are?
You know how to stop abortion? Require that each one occur with a gun.
You know, people pick and choose. You know, everyone says something wrong once in a while. I bet he said a lot of great things.
I mean, I was watching some like stuff from the like mid-80s, and he was kind of entertaining. I get it. I get the appeal. But I think he really meant all that stuff. Like, kind of, I don't know. He brought on like Alex Jones and horrible pigs like Ben Shapiro.
Like, did he? Yeah.
No, I mean, he
terrible.
Didn't bring him on.
I'm sorry,
he, like,
I'm sorry
he
to, I'm,
brought
he's,
them
he's
in.
He's awful.
Yeah. I get the appeal.
Vic of all people.
There's no debate about this.
I think it's great that he's dead. I think it's great that he's dead, but I understand the appeal. Like,
may
why?
He rot.
I get
he
he's.
Rot.
He's
may he
like,
rot.
He was like
may
the,
he rot.
He was the first to own the libs. You know what I mean? He was the first Dan Bongino kind of thing. Yeah.
All right, let's.
My entire life right now is
where
about
are we at,
the libs.
We got to take another call. Let's take a call.
Let's take some more
the
calls.
EIB chunk of the show has been exhausted.
Are people like upset that we're mocking a dead
something?
Man?
No, I mean some people sure are.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How's it going?
It's going well. I'm glad that the Rush Limbaugh part of the show is over. It
really?
Was
just getting started.
Not a fan?
I thought.
You didn't enjoy my impression?
I think I just enjoyed the romantic tone of the last episode so much that was just a...
Right.
That was atrocious.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Aha! Cold there right now? Cold snap?
It's very cold. Yeah. It's cold here.
Well, how can I help you today?
I think I want to just give a shout out of appreciation to Matt. I feel like Matt is like such a ray of sunshine.
Wow,
like,
here we
thank
go.
You, Matt, for everything
wow.
you do.
Thanks, Brianna. Man, so positive.
That is,
I had a good
how much did he pay you?
Yes, what is this?
What was this under the table deal?
Like a sister
this
or something?
Fiverr.
Who
this
is this?
A Fiverr gig, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of
this
Matt.
This is no deal. No deal involved. I just feel like whenever we get to see him, he's just like such a light. So I'm just like, thank you.
Wow.
I think I'm just still feeling so romantic from the Tim and Eric Valentine's Day special.
I hear you. That was a big success.
Light.
That was
tell
a
my wife
fun.
That I'm a light. I like that.
Yeah, he's darker than you might think, but he's dimmer than you might think, too. Nice dim bulb back there. Matt works incredibly hard. As everyone knows, I brought him into this fold right at the end of last the year before, asked him to take the reins of this. And some people are originalists when it comes to office hours. They prefer the old days when nothing worked and it was a big mess. And I want to tell those people that you've never been more wrong.
Wrong.
And your opinion, sometimes we can all have opinions. We can all think it's relativism. There's room for everybody. It's a big tent. But there are objective truths. And one of the objective truths is this show is better because of Matt. Not worse, as many people have said.
Absolutely.
Next, I do seem to somewhat divisive.
Yeah, but I think it's only, you know, there was an issue, I think, maybe on some of the evening game night shows where we have a policy of more loose chat with you, and you do chime in more, which I appreciate and think is fine. But people are used to hearing, they think you're snuffing out Vic. Poor Vic.
All right.
Poor me.
I got some guff about that. I did.
Vic, do you feel encroached upon by Matt?
Oh, no comments.
Oh! Matt?
They got mad at me for game night. They said that I, like, shut you down.
Yeah, you did. It doesn't matter, though.
Shut
it doesn't matter.
Up.
We were having fun, having a blast.
Anyway,
yeah. It doesn't matter.
I was shutting you down, too.
Yeah, everybody shuts me down.
Nobody gives me guff for it.
It's fine.
Okay. I'm going to, by the way, today's show, I was trying to craft this in a tweet, but I couldn't make it work. We've got something for both Vic and Doug. It's on a very real, close level. Lisa Belladonna, synth extraordinaire. Doug is a synth freak. And Vic, too, but Doug's really on a synth high right now, correct, Doug?
Yeah. I've been on a synth. I don't know what I'm doing. I bought some gear.
What'd you buy? Or do you want to save that for Lisa Belladonna? Let you guys hash it out. The other thing is Vic,
yeah.
Robert Popper.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of Robert Popper. We all are. But you're specifically a big fan of his show Friday Night Dinner.
I love it. And I wish the new season would be released in America. I don't know why it isn't. That would be a question I have for him.
Yeah. Well,
let's make it happen.
Well, I'm a Popper head, too. I mean, yeah. I go all the way back to
look around you.
I mean, and...
What about John Popper from the traveling the
traveling will, the no. will, the will, the
blues
tra- blues traveler
the BT yeah the blues traveler when you why you wanna coffee and there it is okay. I don't need someone to be that good at the harmonica.
I like his like harmonica vest that has like every, it's like 30 on each up. Side.
Google it. I mean, what's one thing that's happened? Late last night and then this morning is very rare for us when some sort of fun news breaks before the show and it hasn't gotten played out to death, but maybe it has already. But this Ted Cruz thing where he's been,
not the best.
He went off to Cancun with his family right in the middle of, I hope anybody listening that's in Texas, I hope you're all safe. Anybody in the
right.
Chad, are you down there in Texas? Chad, okay. Come on in the show. Chad, okay. Texas rolling blackout here. Thank you so much. North Carolina,
okay. Brianna.
Brianna, thank you for being with us today.
I'll remember that.
The pounder.
Chad, what's happening where you are right now? Girls. You're muted.
Oh, no.
Stand by.
His mute button's frozen over. Chad, can you?
Chad, the audio is not. The audio is frozen outside on your end.
Yeah, he's unmuted.
Was,
I don't know what's
he was
on.
Passionately speaking, too.
Yeah, he was.
Hopefully we're not, like, wasting his phone battery.
Someone else in Texas. Jerry Sorry. Shlomo.
Shlomo. Jerry. Sorry, Chad. Where are you?
Whoa.
Hey. What's up, Dan?
Hey, man. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the Arctic. I'm in San Antonio.
Shit, man. Look at that. San Antonio is covered in snow.
Have you ever seen snow like this before there?
Never seen that before? How come you're all winter geared up? I think you'd be just wearing cowboy boots and one of those button-up shirts with the little designs on the nipples.
Well, we had some snow a couple years ago, but nothing like this.
Have you lost power?
No, luckily, actually, I live directly behind a fire station, and we're like on a critical grid.
There you go. Wow. That's where you got to live, near fire stations. What do you think of your Senator Ted Cruz scoffing off to scoffing off? Is that something people do?
Yeah, I know. He went to Cancun.
Splitting for Cancun.
That's really not a surprise. I mean, he's a piece of shit. So
what do you think of his excuse that he was just shuttling? This is the latest. He said, oh, yeah, I was going, but I was escorting my family down to Cancun and then I'm coming right back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, that's probably a typical excuse for somebody like him. I mean, I don't know.
Imagine the Situation Room in his hotel with him and his wife and his assistant or advisor or something like that. What are we going to do, Ted? We're fucked here. How are you going to fucking go to Cancun during a major disaster happening in your state? I don't know. I'm fucked. Maybe we should just stay down here. No. Here's what you're going to do. Yeah. You're going to put out a statement that you were just escorting your... What? What do you mean escort? Why would I just escort my family to their grown children? And what are you saying about my wife that she can't handle taking a little trip down to Cancun? That I got to hold her hand? What else are we going to do, Ted? What else? We're out of options, man.
He's got the big travel bag with him, too.
Yeah, he's got
all his
swimsuits like,
in
that's
it.
A good week his of Hawaiian shirts in there. I'd love to inspect that suitcase. So, Mr. Cruz, you were gone for one night. May we inspect your baggage? Right. Oh, well, the thing is, you know, I have a bed. I sweat a lot, so I bring lots of changes of clothes, you see. So I'm incontinent, so I piss my pants.
10 pairs of tighty-whities.
He's not enjoying his trip. He just escorts them, makes sure they get to the beach safe, and then he's like, he's out of their way. Right. He keeps an eye on it.
My wife always has trouble with those key cards at the hotel.
Swiping into the door.
She never has, so I got to go up there. I get them in. I immediately tuck them into bed. I show them how to work the channel changer. I show them the book with the menu and how which numbers to call for room
test
service.
Out the snorkels.
And then I keep the cab waiting. That's the thing I do. I keep the airport van waiting because then I just get back in. I go back to the airport. It's very normal.
Those hotel phones are kind of hard to work. You get sometimes it's 9, sometimes you get 7.
Especially in Mexico, you know, you might not be able to speak the language. And, Ted Cruz speaks Spanish, so he goes down there. ¿Cómo estás, mi wife? Heidi Cruz? You're okay. Here's a little. He tips the guy, and then he's back to Washington to work on the crisis.
He's not tipping. Who are we kidding?
No, he doesn't tip.
He's back to flame wars with Seth Rogen.
Right.
Honey, I can't stay. I would love to sit on the beach, but I got to go back and tweet at Seth Rogen from my Senate office.
You know,
I've got to try to overthrow the government.
He loves interacting with celebrities so much. That's what he wants. That's all he wants to be is accepted by Hollywood.
And he's getting big. I mean, I'm not one to speak, but he's packing it on. I was saying that when he becomes president, he's going to knock Taft off the top list. He's going to look like Rush Limbaugh.
Still a second bathtub.
We love Ted Cruz. He's such a bad guy. It's good to have like clear bad guys out there.
Tim, he's Canadian. I don't think he'll be president, right?
That's true.
No, that's been disputed.
He's been
partial, what do you call it, dual citizenship, so he could.
He's got enough American blood in him to...
He's got American blood. This is Bruce Springsteen. I'm here to support Ted Cruz for president. He's got American blood. Real quick shout out to the great Yoko Ono, turns 88 today, almost like 88 keys on the piano. Am I right, Vic?
That's true. There are 88.
How interesting. Think about that. Yoko Ono, who was in the room when McCartney laid down the piano tracks to Let It Be and Long and Winding Road, both great piano-driven songs.
A foot from John Lennon, just right next to him on his lap.
Yeah, but I am pro Yoko, I say today. Pro Yoko. Pro Yoko. Phil? What? Isn't it John Lennon in that video yelling at Phil Spector? Come on, Phil. Come in the harmony part. No, not that part. No, you're fucking it up. Oh, Yoko. But I love her. I think she's awesome. She's crazy and...
Did she break up the Beatles? What happened?
It doesn't even matter. It was going to happen.
We are. It was going to happen.
We're keeping our special guest.
Oh, pardon me. Well, maybe Lisa Belladonna can weigh in on the great Yoko Ono. I mean, maybe she has an opinion. Let's bring in Lisa Belladonna, synth extraordinaire, for the big interview on the EIB network.
She's a sorceress. Are you there, Lisa? Are you?
Yeah. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
It's great to meet you.
Background, is
wow.
it?
Yeah, let's prove to the audience that is not a fake background. That is where you are. Can you touch something tactile?
Where I am.
Yeah.
Can you scooch to your left a little bit, Lisa, with the way we crop in?
Other way.
That's incredible.
That looks good, right? How's that, Matt?
The other.
Yeah, try to center yourself. There, there it is.
Very nice.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I became a fan of you last year through Matt Sweeney. I don't know if you know who Matt Sweeney is, guitar player.
I do.
And he's like, mm-hmm. he sent me one of your performances on Instagram, and I was all on board with what you're about. what are you about? So give us, like, where, first of all, are you in North Carolina?
No, I'm in the Appalachian Mountains.
Okay, but not a state. There's no, you're in an area that is not defined by a state.
I'm in my own state.
International Mountains, Tim. International Mountains. It's like international waters, but there's an area.
International Mountains. Yeah.
Bingo. That's it.
I just think it's so cool because, I mean, when I see your Instagram, there's that world where you're in right now, which is full of technology and crazy sounding things. And then I see when you step outside and you're in this like beautiful rural, beyond rural, like just in the wilderness out there. It looks like an awesome way to live.
It is. I mean, it's a commitment. It has its blessings and its curses, like living anywhere else. But
yeah,
I got to a point living in the city where I'm just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And I have a daughter that I wanted to have experience living out in this sort of area for a while and have that be part of her childhood. So, and I've just I get a lot more done here when I'm, you know, prior to COVID, I was traveling a lot, so it was a nice contrast.
But so would you perform live? Were you a live performer, or what were you doing traveling?
Before COVID, I did a tour in Japan with Boris and Relaxer and Crypt City. Prior to that, I do a lot of like solo performances and concerts, and I also do education and clinics and workshops at universities and
How did you come to this synth, what can I call it, an obsession? Or I mean, you're just like the master of it.
I'm in love with it. Yeah, you bet.
How did you come to find this this instrument?
In the late 80s, I was working in like jingle studios, like making commercials and things like that. And back then, you know, this kind of synthesis wasn't really what they used to do those sort of commercials and things. But I worked at a studio that had an analog synthesizer. And as soon as I got into it, I was hooked. And as you see, it's a lifetime. You know, it's a whole life. It's a lifestyle.
Do you have like an association with Moog? Like, do you work for them or like?
I do work with Moog Music in Asheville, and they are amazing people. And I do a plethora of things for them. Obviously, I do video content for them, but I also help with writing patch books for some of their modular synthesizers, as well as they have a big modular digital based workstation called a Moog One that I help write.
Wow.
Very multi-timbral, very complex patches for. And so
not only are you a performer, but you've learned sort of the mechanics and the science of what makes these things hum.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I got to a certain point as a performer where I really wanted to understand on a greater, higher level of, you know, how to my music. And so in order to do that, I felt like kind of stopping everything that I was doing and studying physics for a couple of years in correlation with electronic music techniques. And it's all very self-motivated, but it's become a huge marriage in what I do now.
Doug, you just purchased some synths. Do you want to reveal to Lisa? Doug is behind me here. I don't know if you can see him, but he's a synth freak.
Hi, Doug.
And he just went on a bit of a splurge.
I'm not a synth freak. I don't know what I'm doing. There's a synthesizer store in Burbank.
What's it called?
Perfect Circuit. And I went in there and you could play around, and I just bought some toys, a bass line, some analog synths, a bass line, a drum machine, analog drum machine. Well, my question is, if anyone wants to get into it, it looks like very complicated gear you have, like with patching and stuff. How could somebody who wants to dabble?
Where do you begin?
Yeah, where do you start?
Well, you mean instrument-wise?
Yeah.
Or just in general? Well, I think anything that has... It's semi-modular is a great place to start because it allows you to start understanding the signal path that you're creating. And that signal path is the sound that you're going to make. You know, okay, I want to make a great bass sound. I want to make a flute sound, or I want to make it sound like, you know, Rush Limbaugh's falling into the depths of hell. And all of those kinds of sounds you can create by just understanding where you're putting voltages together and creating that event.
Right.
You know? I think a Moog grandmother is a can't do no wrong synthesizer. It sounds so good and it's so fun to patch it and it's not complicated. And it's a great place to start.
Can you define just for the layman modular, what semi-modular and modular means?
There's patch points that you hook cables to that allow you to use that voltage source as something else. So you have a voltage source that creates the sound and you have a voltage source that affects the sound, modulates the sound, changes the sound. And so with semi-modular in layman's, it allows you to sort of use multi-functions for multiple things. Whereas if it's just a hardwired synth and you hit a button and it's a great sound, that's not really what synthesis is about to us extreme nerds. It's really about finding, you know, it's kind of like following a path down. It's kind of like hiking in the wilderness is how I always look at it.
Ooh, I like that imagery. Now, Lisa, Matt told me that you would do a little performance for us.
Sure, if you'd like.
I'd love it.
Yeah, I'll do a little ditty.
All right, take. I'll be like Jimmy Fallon here. Ladies and gentlemen, here on Office Hours. No, what would he say? Ladies and gentlemen, Lisa Belladonna. Friends.
Is that you?
That was me. I was trying to do an intro song here.
Yeah, Vic and Doug are just going to play.
Yeah, we're just going to. There we go. I'll get my synth out here.
Uh-oh. Thank you.
Open up the Zooms for applause.
Incredible.
That was awesome. I think we all went into a nice, beautiful trance state there.
That's amazing.
Do you get into a trance state when you're doing it? Do you kind of just forget, like, lose where your sense of where you are? Or are you really, like, conscious of what you're doing?
Well, I have to be conscious of what I'm doing because you, in order to perform with these instruments, it's like watercolors.
Yeah.
So you're constantly trying to control the mistakes.
Right.
But yeah, I definitely get into a sort of space that is very aligning with
meditative with
these instruments. Yeah, I mean, this is what I'm made of.
When you're performing live and you want to do an exact song that you've performed before,
that's a good question.
How long does it take to set up the, you know, the exact pattern and the tempo and just to get the right settings before each song? It seems like you'd have to do that for every new song if you have a loop. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's why you got to go digital. Just do it with the laptop.
Yeah, because like the old stuff that you don't have, there's no presets, right? Or you can't really save like a template kind of thing, right?
Well, with some of the modern Moog stuff, they have storage banks for digital sequences.
Mm-hmm.
So if I really did want to do a concert of repertoire, so to speak, then I could have, you know, sets of banks of sounds and things like that. But I'm more of a instant composition musician. Yeah, I love to go into a room and not have a clue of what I'm going to do.
Yeah,
and then just create something on the spot for the audience at that time.
Nice.
Who are your influences from this world or from any world? Like what did you hear that thought, I want to do that?
That's a great question.
I know.
You know, really, I read a book by a gentleman named Robert Monroe, who had a book called Journeys Out of the Body. And when I was a young teen, I had a series of astral projections. And it was in those experiences that I heard and witnessed colors of sound that definitely urged me to want to find a way to realize them. And then, of course, musical references. We could go on forever, but, you know, Wendy Carlos, Klaus Schulze, Joe Zawinul, Chick Corea.
Oh, R.I.P., right?
Yeah.
Chick Corea.
So many. There's so many musicians.
Do you know this one?
What? Who made that? You?
I don't know how to say it properly, but Jean-Jacques Perry. Do you know?
Jean-Jacques Perret.
Jean-Jacques Perret. I don't know French very well, yes.
Wait.
Yeah, she doesn't know. Move on.
That's who made that?
Yeah. That's
I had no idea.
Yeah. Anyway.
So
I always love to bring this show to a halt.
Yeah. Vic.
That did it.
Just nod. Nod and be say, yep.
Right, yeah.
Lisa, so you have music, you have records out that people can check out?
Yep.
Are you recording anything now? Did you use the quarantine to make new stuff or?
Oh, yeah. I put out 24 albums in the last 2 years.
Wait, what?
what?
Wait, where? On is it?
On my Bandcamp.
On your Bandcamp.
LisaBelladonna.bandcamp.com.
Oh my God! Well, then I'm going to throw all my other records away and only have your records in my life.
What?
It's one way of living.
Do you still do jingles these days?
No.
Okay.
I mean, you. Sometimes.
Because you work for a jingle house, is that what you said? Like you just...
I did when I was young.
Did anything that we'd recognize? The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
Maybe no, I did one called for Washington Technical College. If you can dream it, you can do it at Washington Tech.
What?
There was one called. Sounds
good.
It was like, you know, super synth brass. I mean, it was just what you would imagine it would be, you know.
Right.
And there was one, Bauer Vision Center. It's the only place in sight. There's no place better in sight.
Well,
it was horrible at that age. It was a real chore, but I was so fascinated with studio technique.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any experience prior to working in a studio. So,
and back then, I mean, your only choice was to be in a real studio doing that stuff. There was no home recording on that. Like, you
very
know,
little.
Yeah.
Yeah. There I were... mean, basically like what's sitting behind me, this reel to reel, that's what, you know, I started with,
right.
And that's it. And now I have, you know, dozens of reels that I connect together. But
do you record to tape ever? Do you like recording to tape?
Oh, mostly.
Mostly.
I, Yeah, I don't have a moving camera right now, but I have, I don't know, at least a dozen different types of tape machines here. And then I use them in correlation with digital.
Right. I'm working on a new record, and one of the things that's sort of guiding the sound of the record is the Lindrum.
Oh yeah.
The Lindrum machine. And that is that's a great sounding drum machine. It's a classic, right?
It sure is. I used to connect ARP sequencer to an Oberheim digital sequencer into the Lindrum, and then use a CR78 as a sort of color,
right,
all synced together. And by the way, I love the Fear of Death album.
Oh, thank you so much. I
want one.
I'll get you a copy.
Please.
Okay,
please.
Matt, we'll discuss offline how to make that happen.
Of course.
Since you're not revealing your specific location, we'll have to
send a drone.
There's no reason for you to give your address on my program. I understand.
We can get that offline. Yeah.
Lisa, I have to run, but I really do appreciate you stopping in and performing for us. At the audience in the chat were flipping out on your performance. They thought it was awesome, and I hope you'll get hundreds of downloads of your albums from my fans.
Be My Baby is my favorite song.
That would be nice. Be a nice bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Take care and
thank you, Tim. Nice to meet and speak with you.
You bet. You too. All
thanks
the best.
Thanks to Matt and all your staff too.
Of course.
You guys are awesome.
Doug?
My pleasure. Absolutely. no problem.
It's hard to say goodbye.
I will say thank you too.
Have him call me. I got him.
Okay. Doug, you have any questions? You call Lisa.
Okay.
Lisa Belledonne.
Yeah.
Lisa Belledonne. Mamma mia. All right, moving along.
Guys.
Thank you, bye. The great,
the incomparable,
friends. Friends, not often does music move me. I had Elton John perform at my wedding, and I love his music. I've never really understood the synthesizer.
She should jam with us during the next drop concert.
Well, that, of course, is a no-brainer. But that's
all
like
her synth,
all of
her,
it.
Bring this whole synth.
That's like saying I should go ahead and write a song with Bob Dylan.
How about she runs? We go with our chaos pads,
yeah,
and we just like mess around with her output.
Right.
We get the final.
She does, yeah,
we get the final. It, you know.
Right.
Touch.
I'm sure, that's her dream.
She's like,
we just ruin it.
She's like, why don't I do this? I'll send you a 45-minute track of me jamming, and you guys can use it however you want. Chop it up.
Sounds over top of it.
And, yeah, we just good put to go. Like.
All right, let's take a zoomer before we get to Robert.
Slaves.
Ian.
Robert. Oh, it's
against
Ian.
Better judgment with his funny mustache.
Where's Ian?
Ian Sakurala. Can you unmute?
Ian Sakurala.
My God.
Hello, Ian. How you doing? Where is he?
There he is.
Oh, fuck it. Fuck me. What is that, a chroma green mustache? What are you drinking? St. Patty's Day what is that? Mix shake?
Shamrock Shake.
Shamrock Shake. Thank you.
I wish.
Gulping on a Shamrock Shake.
I just wanted to say, big fan, finally subscribed to the Patreon.
Welcome aboard.
We're chilling.
Okay, honey.
Isn't it wonderful?
Oh, it's just
the benefits.
Okay, thank you.
Did you get my whisper session that we did? I do the Sunday morning whisper sessions. An hour now. We're doing an hour of whispering. Individual whisper session.
Is that a digital mustache? I can't tell. Is it painted on? Oh, okay.
I got
pretty something. Impressive.
Yeah, I got that Zoom.
You're a bad boy. You're a really bad boy. I'm going to take your underwear down around your knees and spank you, little bad boy. I'm going to stick my finger up in your hole. Sunday morning?
Got a lot of podcasts going this week.
I'm going to be right behind you at church.
Wake up.
When you sit down in the pew, you're going to be sitting on my lap, you little son of a bitch. I'm a ghost.
I'm the ghost of Rush Limbaugh. What does he sound like, Rush Limbaugh? There's a cartoon character that sounds like this. From Hanna-Barbera.
Cool. Yogi Bear.
Right.
Yogi Bear.
No, not Yogi Bear.
The cop on the thing.
Oh!
Like the state.
I should have done cartoon voices.
Park Ranger.
Rush Limbaugh was like,
I just wanted to hear my own voice. I could have... Hanna-Barbera didn't listen to my audition tape.
You got it.
So I decided to do radio instead.
Oh, yeah.
Do you smoke
and
cigars?
It corrupted me. A tiny cancer cell bore into my lungs the moment I began speaking on the EIB network.
Do
and over that. Years, it metastasized.
Yeah, I mean, that's not really a word that I use.
Rush Limbaugh from the grave. The true story. Yes. Here I am in hell.
Come on.
Ah, I figured I'd be in hell. Oh, well. I'll make the most of it. Hey, it's not as hot as Palm Beach. All right. Who else do we have?
Wait, did he get his question in?
Yes. What? No, he's just anything? Complimenting. You don't have
nothing. Yeah, I got a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Yo, so my dog has a human-like scream, and when I walk my dog...
Your dog has a what? Dog,
human. It's like a human-like scream.
Okay.
But when I walk my dog, she's highly vocal, right, with excitement. And people oftentimes come out of their houses and or their windows and like with a concerned face and ask me if everything is all right, because I think they think I'm beating a child or my dog.
Uh-huh.
So what's the ideal response?
Well, if this was a real show, I'd ask you to demonstrate this sound somehow with this dog.
It's like this. This is a dog.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you imitate it? Just imitate it with your own mouth.
All right, it's like...
One, two, three!
I was about to do that, Tim.
Sorry. I'm just a little quicker. That's why I'm in the captain's chair.
One, two, three!
But where's your dog right now?
He's underneath there. Underneath the blanket.
Well, poke him with a fork or something. Get him barking.
Let's get him singing.
God damn it.
There she is.
Hey! You perform for this show.
Want to scream?
One, two, three, four.
You're a motorcycle? She screams at motorcycles, so, you know.
Get a motorcycle
sound
going.
Can you howl? Like you howl and then get the dog howling.
Yeah. Rile him up.
Ow!
That looks like my old dog, Jambi.
Looks like my old dog, too.
Yeah. Jambi's ears used to do that.
All right, this is a bust.
Yeah, sorry.
This is a setup.
Get him out of here.
This is a setup.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
Part of me yesterday was thinking, you know what, with the Rush Limbaugh, let's take the high road.
Nah.
We don't have to praise the guy, but we don't have to go into... Goodbye. Making fun of death and cancer.
It's all right. He did the same thing. He would mock.
I know, but that don't mean
AIDS
you got
patients.
That doesn't mean you have to return those sentiments.
There's a few people that you can be happy
about. Obviously,
when they
I'm
die.
On the fence about the whole thing.
Him and Trump, and it's two wrongs don't make a right. It's okay. He caused a lot of harm.
Well, we have the opposite, a person who brings joy.
Oh, good. I need positivity.
His camera's not on.
Is he refusing?
Oh, there he is. Okay.
Hello? Hello?
What?
Where's my Robert Popper? Is she here?
Hello there.
Hello, Robert. Hello. How are you?
Hello. Hello, my only friend.
My only friend.
Hello, my friend.
This is the greatest. Because when you called the last time, you were... in character, and I wanted to respect that, but there I was like, oh, well, it was also such a fun time we could have just being you and me. For I've known Robert for so many years, and sometime years ago we started calling each other my only friend. As hello, my only friend.
My only friend. How are you, my only friend?
It's so depressing to think about somebody that only has one friend and refers to that person. Hello, my only friend.
It's more depressing when you say goodbye.
Goodbye, my only friend.
Goodbye forever, my only friend.
The other thing we would do, were we going to do something with this? Was the phone calls between Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher?
Yeah. Oh, we wanted to do this thing, which was if they were. It was it either their phone calls when they were dead. But it was because I can do a 65% good Margaret Thatcher.
I can do like a 25% good Ronald Reagan.
I think it's 45.
Okay.
And it was. But really? They chat. But then he says, "Did you know something? It's wonderful talking to the American. Tell me, what is it like being the American president?"
Well, Margaret, I've got to. I see. I can only do well.
It's always well.
Well, what if you were talking to Rush Limbaugh? That might be better.
My guest on the show is Margaret Thatcher, one of the great conservatives from London, England.
Thank you so much. It is wonderful to be here. I am, of course, very dead.
Yes. Welcome to the EIB Network in Hell. I'm here with. Margaret Thatcher, who committed suicide. Is that correct, Miss Thatcher?
Yes,
no.
Yes, I did. I drank poison, and I threw myself down a well.
Terrific, yes.
Why?
Now, you're responsible for the desecration of the public services in the United Kingdom, and ruined so many lives. How does that feel?
Yes, and I also desecrated many graves.
Naya.
Yeah. Margaret Thatcher was well known for desecrating graves.
I dug up their remains and ate body parts.
All right. Let's settle down.
Let's settle down.
How are you? You look the same. I don't know. I mean,
you look the same. You're the same man. And the men behind them say, I can see Doug there.
Yeah, Doug's back here.
Who's that? Who else is behind
that's
you?
That's Vic. It's Vic back here.
That's Vic. Hello there.
Hello.
Hello there. I became all British. How are you?
You're the most British person I know. Get out of here. I mean, there's nobody
hey,
more.
Where do you film this? Where is this?
It's
where,
me room. Where is it? It's me garage. It's me garage.
Is it in your actual house?
Yeah. Well, it's the, yes, it's underneath my house. It's the garage. The garage.
Underneath your house.
It's the garage.
In the garage. Yeah. You've got it in the garage. I've been to your house.
Not this one.
Oh, is it a new one?
Yeah, a little new one. You were the old one.
Because I don't know if viewers know that Tim used to, in his own house, he had, it was like a normal house, but then three floors he built on top, which were working abattoirs.
Yeah, it was a great way to kill a cow.
It was really hard. We stayed the night there, but it was just cows screaming. And there were horses. I think there were horses. I did see horses.
Oh, slaughter a horse, yeah. Slaughter. I don't like the meat. I don't like the meat of a horse, you know. I don't like that. But I do like...
You just like slaughtering.
I like the guts. I like the entrails. Stomach and whatnot. It makes a nice hat.
Very nice. Very nice.
You stretch it out and you make it into some tough... It's tough material. It's tough.
Well, that's good. You dropped the R, tough material. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. There used to be a presenter, a political presenter, who used to interview Margaret Thatcher all the time. And his name was Dennis Warden, I think. And he would go, tell me something, Margaret Thatcher. How do you feel about the Grace Natural? He used to talk like this, so yeah. I might talk like this now.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'll speak like this. I mean, the inside of a horse... Yeah. It's tough stuff.
It is tough stuff. I can't do it. I become Margaret Thatcher now. I can't do it.
Do people love it or not? Love when me and Popper get together and clown around.
Hey, do you remember we did a thing for a while? I don't know why. Where we recorded on cassette,
yeah.
Like a terrible song. Like I just did a horror, like an embarrassingly bad song.
Yeah.
And you said, I've got to find that. That was
I know. And I bought really I even bought a tape machine because I felt like it was really important that it sounded like it was on one of those cassette recorders that you press record on.
Yep. Yeah.
And the problem is I can't help but write good songs. I try writing bad songs.
Of course. I know. I mean, yeah. I mean, the Grammy off the Grammy off the Grammy.
I remember hearing you guys do a prank call where I think you like shared one brain.
We share a brain.
We share a brain.
You were living in Los Angeles for a little while writing with the South Park?
Yeah, that was it. And then I used to come around and it's called the South Park.
Yeah.
And we did silly phone calls, didn't we, one night? And we just like, we phoned, was it a hotel? But we just spoke at the same time. So whoever like led a millisecond ahead, the other one will follow.
Yeah. So and then, I'm calling about finding out if you guys have a room.
Have a room.
And if you guys could accommodate us.
And then the best bit is when we said slightly cyclically, there's a pause and we went, we share a brain.
That was the best.
And then there was one where we phoned and we decided we would start the call with the word specifically. Hello, specifically we would like to.
I haven't done a good prank phone call in a long time. They're very
fun. Man. We should do those again.
I listened this morning. I started listening to the audiobook, which immediately came in my... I pre-ordered it. It came right away this morning.
That's the time waster letter, isn't it? Yeah. My silly books on Audible. Can you get them in America? It's Audible UK. Can you?
It worked. It's international. You could get it in Antarctica, I believe, if you have Wi-Fi.
Wow.
And
in Belgium? Can you get it in Belgium?
You can get it in Belgium, but it's not in... But how many languages did you record it in?
We did 30 languages.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, we did Inuit as well.
And
so,
you
yeah.
did all of them yourself. That's incredible. Is it just phonetic, or did you learn the languages?
No. Well, I'm fluent in about 25 languages, and five others I can get by.
Yeah.
Inuit, I can get by in Inuit.
Yeah. Well, you can always phonetically piece it out, but that's amazing that you speak so many languages.
Well, I've lived all over the world.
That's amazing. And what a time commitment to read to do the audiobook 25 times, 26, including English.
Yeah, it was worth it, though. Anything for humanity. Yeah, it's just my silly letters books, my mad letters books on Audible that we read with Peter Serafinowicz, you know, him, who's your buddy. And
I didn't want to just immediately left turn into promo thing, but... Those
no, I'm not doing the promo thing. I just feel people wouldn't know what it was, so I'm just saying.
Yeah. I mean,
let's not talk about it.
I want to. No, I do want to because it.
I don't want to.
The books are literally, and I hate saying literally because it's not true. Are the things that made me, you know, like cry, laugh.
Sad,
can't
sadly,
breathe.
Sad, very sad.
Yeah. Why is he being so mean to these people?
They're just these letters that are very poignant and sad.
Yeah. Like the letters between Ronnie and Margaret.
Yes, absolutely.
Will?
Do write again, please. My only American friend.
It's snowing in... Margaret, it's snowing in Washington. I've just met with Tip
O'Neill.
I've
been at the graves again, digging.
I've been snacking on brains. I've been eating the corpses, Ronnie. What should I do? Well,
we should
that reminds me of an old movie
those.
I was in.
We're going to have to do those.
I know, but we should get somebody else to do Ronald Reagan. I could do anybody else.
No, you've got to do them. Will? I don't do a good Margaret.
I think I just have to get the head into it. Will, Margaret, it's
just
been
say
real.
Well and you're there, man.
I'll listen to lots of audio of him.
Okay, you do.
So. I...
Yes.
I listened this morning. But there's one thing I was going to ask you about. There's also this Time Waster's diary, the diary.
Yeah, I wrote a novel. It's not a proper book. It's like a diary in the year of the character
Robin Cooper. Yeah,
it was so hard writing. Oh, my God.
That seemed like one of those things, like you start it and then you're like, fuck, I got to really see this
through. I know. It was so hard.
And it's like thick. It's like it looks like the Bible.
It was too long. It was too long. It was too long. I wrote that. Yeah, I went insane writing that for a year. Yeah.
But I listened. So I started listening to the letters, and they work very. I mean, I'm not surprised.
Thank you so much, Tim. That means so much.
They work really well in the audio format. The first letter that comes up, just so people understand, you write this letter to a gardening. Equipment, a gardening
furniture. It was a gardening furniture magazine. They used to send me like loads and loads of brochures, and I didn't have a garden. And yeah, so and then in the end, I thought, fucking hell, stop sending it. Right, I'm going to write to them. And I said that I was a garden furniture designer, and I designed scarecrows made from beef. Would you be interested
right.
in my designs? And they wrote back saying, yes, we'd be interested in your scarecrows made of beef? And then I wrote back, thought, Thank you so much. I think there must have been a typo. I didn't say beef. It should have, of course, said beel, B-E-E-L, no such word.
Which is nothing.
And they wrote back, well, yeah, we'd like to see your beel scarecrow. So here are my beel scarecrow. Then I did drawings of these. They look. No, I've got the book here. Look. I'll just show a picture.
Oh, well, how convenient.
Yeah, no, because the scarecrows are funny. Look, that's one of them, that one. There's a scarecrow made of beef. So basically, it's just shit drawings and shit letters.
That's the one thing. Were you worried about the book? Like, the drawings are so funny, too. I mean, you have to have both. You can't you got to have the books as well.
Absolutely.
It's a compendium. The audio is a compendium. It is not the only... You don't throw the books away.
It is a compendium, exactly.
Yes, exactly.
It is exactly. And I do not know why you would suggest for one moment it isn't a compendium when it is.
You can't have both. Oh, you can have both. You can't have only one.
You can't have only one, but you can't have both. You've got to have one.
you're contradicting yourself.
Exactly.
How badly are things going over there in terms of the
geese?
The plague?
Well, yes. It's
why
shit,
did I just shift? Why did I bring everything down? What's the matter with me?
It's a very hard time, but on balance, there are more graves for me to dig and plunder.
Come and see
if you can get out of the plague. Can you get out of the plague now?
Yeah.
How do you stake way out?
I blew it. I was having so much fun, and then I got dark.
Are you using the COVID time to write season 7 of Friday Night Dinner?
Oh.
He's clever, this man.
Lucky 7.
Hey, clever Vic. Oh, your stuff's so good, man. I'm not doing any more. I don't think I'm doing any more.
It's done.
Yeah, 6 is enough.
Did you wrap everything up neatly in a little bow?
Slightly neatly. I don't think I'll do any more. But I'm doing a new thing now, so I'm writing a new thing now.
Can you tell me anything about it? No, it's not.
It's just about two girls. Not little children girls, but older girls. Old girls. Very old girls.
Sounds girls pretty sick. Sounds pretty sick, man.
220-year-olds. You know, a couple of 220-year-olds.
Why don't you cast me in this show, and then I could come over there and spend some time over there?
I would very much like that. I would like to do that. I would like to.
I will chaperone you, much like Ted Cruz chaperoned his family.
Did you hear this story in America about Ted Cruz?
All I saw before I came in was a picture of Ted Cruz with a fucking U.S. flag mask with a big... dragging a suitcase in an empty thing, and I don't know what's going on.
Well, Texas is like going through a major disaster right now.
Yeah, I know. There's no
cold
like,
and electricity and everything.
Yeah.
And he split to Cancun with his family.
Is he allowed to do that?
You can. I mean, yeah, he can do whatever he wants.
But he's from Texas.
He's from Texas. He's the senator from Texas. And so he just fucked up. People started calling him out, and he said, "Oh no! I was just dropping them off. I was chaperoning them down. I'm coming right back." So
all the way to Mexico,
yeah. Because his wife and adult children can't take care of themselves on the 2-hour Delta flight.
Don't leave me on my own. Complete hell. You have to take us on the airplane. Wow, that's amazing.
Vic is like the number one Friday Night Dinner fan. In America, the only fan in America.
Probably is. Thank you, Vic.
Yeah. When can we watch season 6? I don't. I could not find it.
You can watch it now.
Right now.
Take it away.
There it is. All right,
Vic. Would you like it?
What's that? Would you show us a couple episodes right now on your phone?
Yeah. Yes, I will. I will definitely do that. Hold on. Look. No, I will do that. I will show you definitely. I will show you here is 1 second. Here we go. This will be good. There we are. Hold on, 1 second.
Hold on a minute.
While he's doing that, Vic, tell me where I can watch it.
I was watching it on Amazon.
Oh. Gotcha.
And it was on Hulu for a while, and then it just disappeared one day.
Oh.
I complained. Yeah. I complained to Hulu.
It took it down.
We need more American shows. All right.
Here we go.
Money. Oh, there we go.
Oh, cool, Vic. There you go. There's a world premiere of season six of Friday Night Dinner. What a great way to watch. We're going to get dinged by the BBC here.
A little different.
Dang.
Is that the BBC that show's on? Wait, what is this?
That's a clip of a man trying. That's showing you how to repair a washing machine on YouTube.
Have you seen... I got to think... have you... You'd love...
Here we go. This is the good bit. One minute.
What is that now?
It's repairing the washing machine.
That's fascinating.
Oh, great.
It's like sewing it. That's cool.
Robert, have you seen this guy who's like... I got to think... who's our moderator, Matt? I'm blanking on her name.
Vaughn
sent this to me. It's this old man who makes very cheap, affordable food on his stovetop. He takes like TV dinners and makes these dinners. You would love. He's like an American Robin Cooper. But she sent me this video of him making. The video is called "How to Eat Cornflakes,"
or "How to Make
How to Make Cornflake." Yeah, how to make cornflakes.
You're American.
Yeah. Well,
is he British?
He's American. He's American. But he's like an older...
to make cornflakes. He makes his own cornflakes.
What's the real name of the video? Find out the real name.
He doesn't make them. It's how to prepare it, but it's called how to make them.
I think it's called how to make cornflakes.
How to eat cornflakes. Tutorial.
Tutorial, yeah, so...
Feature Man is his name.
Feature Man, and here's what he does. He's got a box of cornflakes, okay? A box of cornflakes, a generic brand, because he's all... Which is fine. He's all about, like, economy and, like, how to make things cheap. So he pours in the cornflakes into this bowl, which is a reused container.
It's a whipped cream container.
It's so grim.
He puts. So but listen, you're not going to believe. You're going to think I'm making this up. He puts in some fruit. He puts in some blueberries and raspberries. Okay, all good.
Ruined already.
Then he goes.
But you don't do that.
Then he goes, and now for a little treat. Now for a little surprise. He puts in three large marshmallows. Okay. Puts in three large marshmallows. Then he takes a teaspoon and heaps in three heaping teaspoons of powdered sugar, right? 3 teaspoons. So now we've got 3 full-size marshmallows, 3 teaspoons of powdered sugar. And then he adds chocolate milk instead of regular milk. He adds chocolate milk. And then he tops it with whipped cream, like that like Cool Whip stuff that you pop.
He loves the Cool Whip.
And he eats it.
And then he mixes it up with 2 spoons, because somehow he's got 2 spoons involved. He's got the Cool Whip spoon and the regular cereal spoon. Oh, my God.
Does he do other food like that?
Yeah,
well
he'll do like a Hungry Man, or he'll do like a beefaroni can, or like just like shows you how to eat canned food, basically. And then he has this big like a 3-liter bottle of root beer, like or something like that. He's drinking out of the bottle, and he's always like, "This was 39 cents,
like 20 cents.
This was 20 cents." And he's like,
"What's his name? Feature Man.
For some reason,
I got into watching a few years ago. Did you ever see Shoe Nice?
Shoe Nice. Yeah.
3, 2, 1. Shoe Nice.
No, I don't know.
He's the man that would eat anything. So he's okay. He would eat a bottle of glue.
Yes.
He would go 3, 2, 1, shiny block, look, look, look. And then he would take a bottle, he would go, okay, bottle of tequila. And he put the bottle in his mouth, no hands, hold it up like that, and drink the whole bottle.
Jesus.
Have you checked in on him lately?
Is he not doing well?
I don't know if he's still alive.
He is still alive, but they took away his main channel. So he's trying to build it up again and just can't get the same like steam behind it. So it's
extra
sad.
This will
do it. Yeah.
I feel terrible for people that I described that cornflakes video to, because there's something wonderful about not knowing what's coming next and seeing the escalation in sweets into the cornflakes. You just can't believe it when it's happening.
I thought would have been better to put in than powder sugar. Just 3 spoonfuls of
heaping.
Heap spoonfuls of flour would have been good.
Cornmeal. I like to add a little cornmeal. That's his voice. He was like another one of these guys that like thinks that you need to speak like a broadcaster.
Oh, right. Okay,
I'm speaking. Yeah, this is a little sweet for some, but I have a sweet tooth and I've deserved it. Fuck.
Tim, he's got headshots. Isn't he like an old actor?
He is an old background actor, yeah.
Did you hear about this alternate ending of Titanic that just came out? Did you hear about this, Robert?
Is this real or pretend?
This is real. This is the best thing I've seen in a while. Maybe we could play it.
Well, you mean
Robert won't be able to see it, right?
You mean the boat crashes?
No, the boat still crashes. So if we can show this, I'm sorry, I'm springing this on you. Is that a possibility? A possibility?
It's hard to see. We can text it to Ron.
There's
and send
a possibility.
It to Ron. He won't see it necessarily.
Great. It's awesome.
Oh. Wait. Who did this Titanic? What is this?
Well, so I'll describe it again. I'll do my descriptions of funny videos that people love.
You hold up your phone.
Imagine looking at
it. So the ending of, I forgot about this, but the ending of Titanic is, there's this old lady, hag, who they've taken out on the boat to help find this, jewel. It's big fucking heart jewel, right?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And at the end of the movie, they're like, she had it the whole time, and it was her little secret, because it was between her and Jack.
This is the one where, and it's covered in diarrhea.
No, she pulls it out of her ass.
I remember.
Yeah. And in the movie that we've all seen, she's between her and us, you know, the audience, she drops it in the ocean. She turns it back, returns it to the sea where it belongs, returns it to Jack who drowned in the awful tragedy of the Titanic, which we blame, the Americans blame the British for. You understand that, right? That was your ship.
I'm sorry. I'm just sorry.
You should do
maybe we could have an hour silence for all of it.
You should do an apology tour about the Titanic on behalf of the British people.
Okay, I will.
Anyways, there's apparently James Cameron shot an alternate ending that was then cut. And it's as opposed to just dropping it off without showing anybody, she shows it to the actor, what's his name, who's the guy, the explorer?
Roy Vince.
Tom Macaroni.
That's him.
Tom Marconi. And she's like, I've had it the whole time. And he's like, can I touch it? Can I touch it? And she's, can you have it?
Yeah, I can play it. I can play the sound.
Will you be able to hear Vic?
We're going
to
get dinged.
But it's this like thing where she's like, you must learn to live for the day and not hold on to and then she throws it off for everybody to see. And he's like, and then he has this epiphany. He's like, I understand. I get it now. I understand what's important in life, you know? And this other woman standing there, he's like, would you like to dance? And they start dancing. And it's like the corniest thing you've ever, ever, ever seen.
And do they all wave into camera and shout, the Titanic!
To the Titanic!
That would have been a great ending, actually.
Yeah.
What's the latest with the royal family? What's the latest with Prince...
Goodbye, Titanic!
And then they bow.
What's the latest with the Prince, Edward?
Edward?
No, who's... not Edward, the old man...
The Queen's father, Queen's husband.
Yeah,
Albert.
Albert.
Prince Philip.
Prince Philip, sorry.
Prince Philibert.
He's looking rough.
He's 200 years old today. He's in prison. He's in a prison hospital.
I'm not well.
I'm not fucking well, and I'm going to hospital, and I insist on going to a prison hospital.
It must be a dungeon, you see.
It must be. I don't know why I speak a bit rough, seeing as I'm very posh.
In the old days, if you're sick, you went to a dungeon.
Dungeon, yes. A dungeon.
And you're cured, you see? You're cured. Moments. No. You spent 1 week in a dungeon and you're cured.
Dungeon?
They shouldn't have put him in charge of everything.
Is he in charge of everything?
Yeah, he's like, little did they know, he's been running.
I think Americans sort of think quite a lot that the royal family is sort of in charge of everything.
No, we don't. I don't think my audience is too smart for that. They understand.
We probably think about them 0.1 second every 3 months.
But I think it was you or, it might have been you or Peter who put it succinctly to me in understanding why they still exist is like, it's good for tourism.
That is an interesting point.
Yeah. It's a living thing that is almost everywhere else just in the history.
Well, Tim, you know, with the economy being as it is now, I mean, we could all do with some extra, you know, money coming in. And if they're going to help, which frankly, they do, then it's got to be a good thing.
Do you ever go?
Have you ever thought how it would work purely financially for your country if you were to have a king or a queen? But purely financially,
we do. We've got a royal family here in my mind.
You do, of course, you have
Larry King.
Yes.
We have Larry King, who passed away recently.
Yes.
It's so sad.
I know you were sobbing.
Next caller. And then, you know, Rush Limbaugh going is going to be hard for a lot of us.
we'll be very, very sad here.
You know who must be upset is that, oh, shit. Who's that guy that's the British guy that's friends with Trump who's always smoking and...
Nigel Farage.
Nigel Farage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, he's what we call here a cunt.
He must have the messiest shits. You know, just the... awful.
I phone called his when he ran this political party, and some woman answered, and I said, is it true that he does, because he was always photographed in the pub having a fucking pint, like, yeah, British,
he's a man of the people.
Yeah, is it true he goes to the toilet, does his wee in the pub toilet? well, no, he does his wee. If he's in the pub and he needs a wee, he goes to the wee pub. Otherwise, he goes at home. Is it true he won't burn a dog? Yeah.
That's like Mike Huckabee, who tortured his son's dogs, apparently. All right. I got to go. I laughed too much with you. It's too hard.
Sorry. I made you laugh.
Well, I just wanted to get real with you and maybe talk about, like, you know, your influences and where the humor comes from, because... my suspicion is that you had a very troubled childhood, and I wanted to get into that because your humor is so dark.
Oh, it is really dark. Have we got time to talk about this now for a long, long time?
Not on this show, but I'm launching a new podcast, which is Inside the Comedy.
It's wonderful talking to you, Ronnie. Thank you so much. We had a wonderful trip there. Unfortunately, I didn't get to dig up any of your graves.
I wanted to welcome you to my new podcast, Inside the Comedy Mind. My first guest is Robert Popper, creator of Look Around You and
Thank
the Time Waster Letters. Robert.
Thank you. I'm still Margaret Thatcher. I'm still terrible Margaret Thatcher. I'm still a bad version of Margaret, an unconvincing Margaret Thatcher.
Well, I think if I'm closing my eyes, I mean, my audience doesn't, they're too young for Margaret Thatcher. They don't know who the fuck we're talking about.
Yeah.
You might as well do Queen Elizabeth I, the Queen Victoria from the 1800s, that little bitch.
Oh, yeah. She spoke like this.
Did she have a lisp?
Yes, she did, yeah. She spoke a bit like this, and she was very quick and everything, you know.
She always had her one eye closed like Popeye, but when they painted it open.
Well, she was a cyclops.
I can see fine. Just paint me with this one open.
You know what's great?
It was said that she had a big eye in her mouth.
She had a big what?
A big eye in her mouth, but it looked back towards the end of other end of her throat.
That's all she could see was inside of her own mouth.
Dark.
You know what's really funny? There's a at the Magic Castle in. Have you ever been to the Magic Castle?
No, I've heard of it. Yeah, yeah.
There's all these paintings of magicians from the past that have performed there the past 100 years or something. You know, and there's this one painting of a guy. I don't know his name. He's a magician, but he had a toupee. He wore a toupee as in his life, and the painting very clearly suggests the toupee. It's a very accurate painting. So you see how it's a toupee in the painting, and it's like, well, why couldn't you just, if you're the painter, why couldn't you just make that look like real hair? Like, why did you have to represent the toupee in the painting?
Was it part of a shtick?
No, I don't know. You know what, Doug? I don't know. I don't know the whole.
He doesn't know, okay? He doesn't know.
It doesn't matter.
He doesn't know, okay?
All right,
Robert, you don't know.
We got to go. The show's
on that sour note, on that terrible note.
Doug bringing a dose of reality to the conversation. Running around, seeing out all night. Well, let's do it again, Robert. I'm so glad to have seen you, and I hope I see you in person one of these days.
That would be nice. And thank you, and God bless you all.
Sorry I ruined the ending.
The Time Waster compendium on Audible. If you're getting a recommendation from me, I'm not over here recommending everything under the sun. This is going to guarantee you laughter that will bring tears, and stomachs will be hurting.
And diarrhea again.
And urine will flow. You'll pee your pants. Your bed will be wet. All right, Robert. Cheers. Right. Cheers. I guess
see you later.
As you would say.
See you later.
Cheers.
God bless.
God bless. Gumballs. All right, that's our show. What a show, huh?
Wow.
Is Robert as funny to you as he is to me? Boy.
They were loving it.
God. It's almost a shame that we had him do Robin Cooper only last time, because he offers so much more when he's just himself.
I love his grocery list that he leaves behind.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing.
That's the greatest bit.
That's a funny bit. All right, everybody. We're not stopping. We're going right into After Hours here on the Patreon EIB network.
Big live launch. Big live launch.
Yes, and the big live launch of timanderic.com. Unbelievable stuff coming up in the next few minutes. Guaranteed success. No problems here. Roll it, ladies and gentlemen. The end credits begin right now.
I do not sing what I believe. I only give them facts.
Okay.
If they believe quite otherwise, it still will have impact.
Okay.
Victory, 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 victory.
Okay.